Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
There's some books that really hammer you really good, and Nehemiah is one of them because he was born in captivity, and God used him powerfully. He wasn't powerful with the Lord. I mean, he had a place in God. He had a compassion for the people, and he was a builder, and God used him. God will use whoever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and he's going to do it on his terms. And all he's looking for is the heart. That's it. Because some people you look at, you're like, this guy? Really? This guy. That's the way that the world looked at the disciples. You take like Peter, and you take these guys, these disciples, these guys were fishermen. And the world will look at them like, these guys? That's good. When the world can look at you, because you know what? God uses the simple things of this world to confound the wise. And you know what? That's when they see greatness in a mighty God and what he's doing in your heart. And you're like, you know what, Lord? Thank you. So in Nehemiah chapter 2, that's where I want to read a little bit tonight. And sometimes I can be a ball hog when it comes to teaching. You know, every time I teach somewhere, they're always like, look, you got a half an hour, and they always put like this timer up there, you know what I mean, like this reminder. And you're like, all right, okay, half an hour, man, that's it, you know. I'm thinking half an hour and nothing. That's like warm-up jokes, you know, do a couple things, you know, and it's like, but I'll stick to it because I know the fellowship is, because afterwards you guys will fellowship and kind of break up, which is good. Fellowship is great. Fellowship is accountability. Fellowship is like what we're going to be talking about tonight here, where Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, okay? You know what a cupbearer is? Cupbearer is when you got to do the dirty work. It's like they want to make sure that nobody's going to poison the king through the wine or the drink or the food or whatever it is, so you have to eat and drink it. So all eyes are on this guy every time he takes a bite, you know? Like he can go, whew, he can walk in there and grab something to drink and go like this and look around and everybody's looking at him. You know, like, okay, you know, is this guy going to drop or is he going to keep walking? You know what I mean? So what a job this guy had. In chapter 1, it starts out where the people come in and they're going into the homeland of Jerusalem where it's been destroyed from the Babylonians. Now they're under Persian control. And Nehemiah is listening to the people because they're discouraged. All right, there's a real good quality right there. You want to be a good leader, guys and gals? Can I still call you that these days? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, I come in and I'm like, you know, I think that still counts, you know? But so he's listening to the people and they're really down because the homeland is not getting rebuilt. And he's listening, being a good listener. And he had the heart for the people, okay? You guys have a heart for the people. It also says to carry each other's burdens, you know? And I know you've heard this before. So if I say this to you, you know, I'm thinking, have you heard this? Of course you have. You guys, I can tell. I was watching. I was in the back listening to the worship. It's powerful. It really is. How you're so mature in Christ is amazing. To carry each other's burdens, to listen to someone. You do that when someone comes to you. Say, hey, listen, man, can we talk? You get this all the time. Can we talk? Can you please pray for me, please? This is what he was doing for the people. He carries these things. You're praying. You're going to bat for somebody. You ever pray, and then you pray for someone? Like, Lord, you know, just like we did here, you do. You lift it up. Jesus, when he prayed, you know, in Matthew, on the Sermon on the Mount, they call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, okay, hallowed be thy name. That's not the true Lord's Prayer. That is, he didn't tell him what to pray. He said, this is kind of how to pray. Acknowledge who's God and all that. Okay, When you go into John 17, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's when Jesus was right before they were going to arrest him, when he was with the disciples. What did he do? He lifted up his eyes to the heaven. So that throws that one out. Like, do I have to close my eyes to pray? Does it count if my eyes are open? Okay. Do I have to be in a special position? Or is there, like, you know, like your prayer closet? You know where your prayer closet is? Wherever you want to be. You know where I like to pray a lot? I like to jump in my little Jetta, and I'll jump on the road, and I'll take off. And I'll say, Lord, and just drive around. And my wife, she's like, you know, all you're doing is burning gas. I go alone because I don't want to listen, you know, and nothing. And I'm like, I know. But it's just that's I like to do that. And I like to walk around in spots where people might look at you, like, who is this guy talking to, you know, and things like that. But Jesus lifted his eyes to the heavens, and he talked to his Father. You don't have to close your eyes. God likes a good talking to. So he talks, and what's the next thing he does? Then he prays for all these crazy disciples that God surrounded him with. You know what I mean? And they were crazy. He was praying for them, just like we pray for people. And then after that, he says, and I want to pray for the future believers. Voila, that's us. That's every single one of us in here. The Lord was praying for us, for those disciples, and he was praying to his Father. There's no special way. He just wants you to talk to him. You know, you're like, does that count, a talking to? Yeah, you bet it does. Because when you talk is when you start spilling your guts out. You know what I mean? Nehemiah started praying. All of chapter 1 is a prayer, simply a prayer. He went to the Lord. Now, let's go to chapter 2. And I didn't say anything in verse-wise, but chapter 2. It's been 4 months. 4 months since the end of chapter 1, and now we're going to start at 2. 4 months he's been praying. You ever do a prayer journal before? You know what I mean? Where people say, hey, can you pray for me? Let me give you one rule. Give you a rule because I've blown it too many times, is when someone says, can you pray for me? Don't do what I've done in the past before. I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem, man, you know. And 3 weeks later, you see them, and they come up to you, and they're like, oh, man, thanks for praying for me, man. Everything got so much better. And you know what? And you're like, I didn't even pray for him. Right? And it's such, you know, and you're like, so that just shows you that God's got someone else praying for him. And I'm learning, so I'm like, when someone asks you for prayer, pray for him. Pray for him right then and there. And then you know what I started doing years ago? I started writing down this prayer in a prayer journal. I write that down, and I'll say real quick who it was, and then I'll date it. I'll put a date. And then close it up, you know, and then one more people. And then what you can do is, through time, you can go back and you can look at this prayer journal, and you're like, wow, this is really cool. You can start seeing the progress and how God works. Because if you don't have a little bit of coordination that way, it can kind of slip on by, you know. So, in that 4 months, God answers those prayers. You know, sometimes we're like, God, are you listening to my prayers? 4 months. 4 months. Not only did God answer that prayer, but he also came up with a complete plan that he's going to bless Nehemiah with. We think God is like not doing certain things. I'm going to share something with you that happened to me. And I just thought I'd share it with you. 4 months ago, I was over at the VA and military, and I was having an MRI done on my neck because just from all the stuff, my neck kind of got jacked up and my back and all that. While they're looking at my neck, I got a phone call like about 3 hours later, which is a rarity. I had two doctors who said, hey, listen, man, we need to talk to you. We got the MRI results, and we found something else, though. And they found cancer in my throat, and I have esophageal cancer, throat cancer. And I'm like, totally, completely out of the blues. That was 4 months ago, okay? in 4 months. I have had surgery, and they just look like I got shanked in prison or something, man, my neck. I got this gigantic scar on my neck, you know. But at least my neck, you know, you get like a facelift. I probably got like a neck lift or something like that. So every time I'll take pictures, you know, I'll smile and always give them my left side, you know. And they say, man, guy's got a really nice, young-looking neck on the left side there, you know. But and praise God, I'm cancer-free. Isn't that something? So, you know, and I asked, I'm like, Lord, thank you, yeah. And I'm like, Lord, please, please, please. And I told the doctor, I said, I don't want to lose my voice. And the guy, he goes, look, Jim, he goes, we're just going to worry about getting this cancer out because I had two huge tumors in there. And he goes, we'll just do that. He couldn't guarantee anything. And here I am just barking away, and I feel really good. My swallowing is a little weird sometimes, you know, and kind of like, you know, my left side kind of tightens up and all. But you know what? I'm cancer-free. 4 months. I asked God. I'm like, Lord, I need some help. I really do. I would pray for this. My doctor, he was like world-renowned. And, you know, and through time, he's like, I know, Jim. I know. You're praying for me, you know. I'm like, I'm not just praying for you, dude. I'm praying for your hands. I'm praying for your feet. I'm praying for everything, man, because you're going to be all over me, and I want this thing to go good. And it did. It went really good 4 months ago. This is why this 4 month really rings a bell with me. So Nehemiah, here we go. I'm going to blast through this here, and because I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want you guys to fellowship. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, spell that one out, huh? Artaxerxes, yeah. They don't name their kids that no more, you know. It's like Art, you know, like we're going to, you know, he's Art. He's not Artaxerxes, you know, or, you know. And when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to him, to the king, because he was the cupbearer. Okay. And I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, he goes, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be... can be nothing but sadness of the heart. All right, fellow Christians, sometimes we get bummed and we get down, don't we? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not weakness. Sometimes we show our hurt, and it's good to be in fellowship. When you get around the gals, guys, you can get around the guys, you can mix it up, and then someone can come up to you and say, you know what? What's up, man? What's up? I sit here for the last 17 years. I've had a Bible study every Sunday night right here with a crowd this big, maybe a little bit bigger, and we come in here because we get to eat. You know, you get the kitchen. Brains, isn't it? You know, and you're like, okay, I got a kitchen, you know. That. But we go through troubles. And as you get older, your body starts falling apart, and you start experiencing different stuff. You guys just getting you amped up. And what do? We hang out together because we got to help each other. You got to carry each other's burdens. We got to be praying for each other. I don't care if you're 20 or 70. It's the same. Jesus is the same. Remember, when you get to heaven, you know, and that little sliding door opens up, and there you go, okay, what's the magic word? You're like, Jesus? You go, okay, come on in, man. It doesn't make any difference. Who you are, I don't care what you wear, I don't care how tall you are, short you are, I don't care nothing. Look at these men he used. This man right here was a cupbearer, and he was in the world. He worked in the world. It says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Well, do I have to... like be a pastor to be really close to God? Do I have to like just work in the church? Even if I'm just cleaning the church, at least I'm in the church. But I'm like, no, I'm not out there working in the world. No, we all, there you go. We all have jobs, okay? And we have, God places us where he wants us. And he wants us to be a light. This man was a light. He was with the king. We're not talking a really nice guy. These are the Persians who went in there and whooped up on the Babylonians and took. They got all these people now, okay? Yeah, these are bad kings. because of this man's heart, God is softening the king's heart. He's like, dude, what's wrong, man? You're not sick. How come you look so down? You know? So we can actually get down sometimes, but we need fellowship. This is why it's so important. It is. And I don't care what age. I think that's where I was trying to get. And it doesn't make any difference how old you are. We got to hang out together. We got to fellowship. This is really encouraging for me to see this. So what, he goes, I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Yeah, that's a good one. Back then, if you did something wrong with the king, usually like, you know what, take him out back, take his head off. Things were a little different back then. Now, you know, it's more of a like, well, you know, that's kind of harsh. You know what I mean? You know, that's not very nice to say. Then they didn't care about that. If you said that, you're dead in about 2 seconds, okay? So he was very careful on how he stated it. He was a friend of the king and queen, obviously. And the king in 4 said to me, what is it that you want? And then I prayed to the God of heaven. Here you go. Here we go again. He's praying again, huh? Yeah, prayer warriors. Do you know prayer warriors? It says in the Bible, the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, avails much. You're going to get a lot done. Effective prayer and fervent prayer, it's like heat, man, like having that oven on 500. When you open it up, you're like, man, that's fervent prayer, really getting it out. Kind of like the heat in Tucson that we're going to be experiencing here in about 4 months. You know what I mean? Yeah. We walk out in that parking lot, you're like, this is insane. You know, you can't even grab your car keys. It's so hot. You know, you're like, you know, and then you fumble around. Then you gotta touch that asphalt out there. But you know what? That's fervency, man, is when you just really lay it out there. He's laying it out there again in front of the king, and he hasn't even told him anything. And so here we go. He says, and then I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in him, then let him send me to the city of Judah, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it. Sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, our lives can hit kind of like a little shambles state. You know what I mean? Things can fall apart. I've been in many counseling sessions where marriages have just flat out fallen apart. Flat out. The pride kicks in and things just get destroyed sometimes. Families get destroyed. Relationships, people at work, they lose things, they lose their jobs, it says, consider it all joy, my brother, in James 1, you know what I mean, right there, that when you go through these tribulations and times, that you just, you know, keep pushing forward, persevere, keep going, because you know that God is the one, he's going to be in charge, but the rebuilding process, sometimes we got to rebuild things, you know. And because sometimes we might say crazy things. You ever said anything crazy to someone in your life? My name is officially on my birth certificate, Book of James. I have literally spoke at very, very large men's conferences in Tucson. And they'll go, hey, you want to teach on James 3, Taming the Tongue? I'm like, pfft. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, it's like I think I've been like the reigning king on that planet for like a lot of years. Because if I ever burn down hillsides sometimes, it talks about that. You know what I mean? These words, you can torch a hill down. You know what I mean? You can steer a ship. You know what I mean? You can move things. You know, you're like, yeah, I've done a lot of damage sometimes. I've learned. I have learned. You know what it says in the Bible? It says for us to slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. You're like, that sounds pretty cool. It says right there, slow to speak, shut up. Remember he told Peter? Remember? Takes Peter and James and John up to the top of the mountain on the Transfiguration. And what's Pete do? He's like, I'm going to start building. I'm going to start taking care of this stuff. You know what I mean? And finally, God's like, Pete, shut up. Shut up. God knew that he was going to use this man mightily. He had to teach him a lot of stuff, but sometimes we just got to be quiet, and we got to listen, And things are a little bit easier this way, rather than me taking charge, running ahead, you know, running past the horse, you know, like, I'll lead this, you know. I got my moccasins on, you know, I can run. Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm not even going to take my car. I'm running home, you know what I mean? And but sometimes things have to get rebuilt. That's leadership. The Lord is teaching every single one of you guys and gals in here leadership. And the way that we do it is when we don't let our personal pride get in the way. Every single one of us, without Christ, we're prideful people. We really are. When Christ comes along, you can see such a change, and this is when we start seeing changes in each other too. When we start putting others first, you just do. And so let me read a little bit more here. So he asked, he goes, what do you want? He goes, I want to go back because there's damage in the homeland and the people can't get stuff done, and I want to go rebuild. So then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, they asked me, well, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? And it pleased the king to send me, so we set a time. So things are looking good. Yeah. King's listening. God's softening his heart. And simply because this man, Nehemiah, who wasn't a priest, he wasn't a leader in the church, he simply just had a heart to serve. Do you want to be big in the kingdom of God? Serve. Be a servant. Like, well, you know, yeah, I want to do stuff, but that word doesn't exactly come across as a, you know, a big word. Servant. When you go into the Bible, every first chapter, in every first line, when Paul, Peter, James, every single one of them, what do they say? A servant of my Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but what is your title, man? I mean, what do you do? You know, how much are you getting paid for this? You know what I mean? I mean, you're like, you know, I'm a servant. Jesus had two brothers in this Bible here, James and Jude. They didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah until the resurrection. That's what it took. So if you want to bring people to the cross, you know, and it's the resurrection is what brings people to Christ. That's what does it. But these men were servants. Think no more of that than by just being a servant. JD comes, he calls me up and says, hey, man, you want to come on over and talk? I'm like, you got it. What a captive audience. You have no choice but to sit and listen to me, you know what I mean? Which makes it even better. And we get to hang out together. Guys and gals, we're practicing for heaven. One day, we're going to be up there at probably the greatest taco bar, whatever Italian joint, you know what I mean? Guys are like, here you go. You know, I'm going to go hang out for like 50 years and have some of the best salsa, you know, and then, you know, it's just going to be amazing. But we're just practicing for heaven, and we'll remember things. All the sorrow will be gone, all the pain, all the suffering, all the letdowns that you get, all those moments are gone, gone. And just being with Jesus, you know, the one like Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That's it. We have a world out there that says, come on, man, that's it. That's it. All, in Romans 10, all who call upon Jesus, all who believe in their heart and call upon him that he died for their sins and rose from the dead will be saved. You're like, you know, there's no secret handshake. There's no nothing. No money involved. No nothing. The world, they can't comprehend that. This is why you and I are called to be a light. This man, Nehemiah, was a light to where he was. So much that God's changing this king's heart, says, okay, what do you want? So here, read a little bit more. We're almost done. And I also said to him, if it pleases the king, then may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, which is the area up there, so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city wall and for the rear residence I will occupy. And because of the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted me requests. See? You got it all. King's like, what do you want? He goes, tell you what. He goes, I need provisions. I need stuff. Remember, he prayed 4 months. 4 months. God gave him everything you need. So here you go. Here's your Home Depot card. Get you a couple of trucks. He gave him clear passage, safety. Look, when you got something on your heart, you ever get that in your heart? You're like, I don't know why. I don't know where this is coming from. My wife, she'll, you know, I can talk and all that. And then when God starts talking to me about something maybe he wants me to do, just sharing with you, I kind of clam up. And then she's like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, well, you know, God starts putting things on your heart. And you've already felt this. He'll do this. You know, words can't describe. You know that God's comfort and peace transcends all of our understanding. I'm like, I don't know why I have peace in this situation, but I do. You know, love, joy, peace. Here's that fruit. You start a low-hanging fruit, man. I don't want that. And he does. He starts answering. He starts helping us through these times. He's helping this man right here. And he's going to prepare him to go, and he's going to use him to go into back to Judah that was totally destroyed. And we're almost done. I keep saying that. I'm just kind of baiting you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because we keep saying that. It says, and then he granted my request. Okay, you guys ever read the book of Daniel? 77s, you know, 67s? Okay, this is where the time starts. Once he said, you got it, he signed the decree, that's when the time clock clicked right there, and that's when it talks about the time frame of when Jesus would enter the gates of Jerusalem through the sheep gate. To the minute is when it entered, when you figure out the times. It's like 483 years. All right, then there's 1:7 left, and that's your tribulation period it talks about when it'll be cut off. It's amazing. When you read God's word, you go through it, you're like, this is really cool. I could see this, and yeah. And then, bam, there's some prophecy right there. You're like, wow, he throws that one in there. God uses these people, and it's kind of like, have no idea how powerfully he uses this man. He doesn't realize that we're reading this. All these things that he went through, we're reading it right now. Just like your testimony. You know, our testimonies can be powerful. There's a lot of people out there that are going to go, well, how do you know? How do you know? Years ago, there's a lot of problems out there, and I had a lot of problems. You know, that's why I joined the military and all that, and then I kept doing it, and now drugs, alcohol, you know. I didn't have drinking taken out of my life until I was 40 years old. And even then, I'm out there on the back patio. It was on my birthday, you know, when I'm 40. And that was 30 years ago, almost. I'm out there, and I hear God's voice, and I'm sitting there going to drink, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to drink half. You ever bicker with God? It's amazing, isn't it? Some of the things that we do, and yet God still uses you. And then I'm like, you know, and I'm so, you know, and then God's like, nothing. All that I'm going to do for you, I felt those words so strong. And at that point, I'm just like, man. So I went over there, and I threw all my booze out in the alley. I live right there on the alley. And I walked inside, and I said, honey, I'm not going to drink no more. She just kind of laughed. You know, a sad laugh, because you're right, Jim. But, hey, when God moves, he'll move. And he'll move in all of us differently, too. Like when Jesus, when he healed, sometimes it wasn't immediate. Sometimes it was. Like these guys that were crippled, you know, like Paul and Peter, when the Lord gave, in the early church, God gave these sign gifts, because it's just a sign that only God can do this, not Peter or Paul, sometimes these guys would get up, they've been crippled their whole life, you know, and they'll come by, they'll make eye contact, get up, pick up your mat and walk, you know, poof, they're gone, they're up. No therapy, they're not doing nothing, you know what I mean? They have to call up the hospital, you know, nothing, man. They just get up. I have a hard time just driving from my house just a couple miles down. When I get out, I'm like, man, my back, you know? It's like, you know, and here these guys are jumping up after, you know, for 40 years of being completely crippled. God does miracles, and he's going to do it differently in all of our lives. And he'll, I mean, so here we go. We're almost done, okay. I know, yeah. So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters, and the king had also sent army officers and the cavalry with me. So this guy's got an entourage. The king's like, you want it, you got it. And he says, go. And here we go. We're going to end it after this next couple lines. Now when Sanballat the Horonite and the Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. Wow. After all this stuff, the praying, the like, don't know what's going on, I'm feeling wild, the king's picking up on it, then I go to the king and then things start steamrolling good. Things are going, you're like, man, God's got this one all over it. And then all of a sudden you get these bozos here, these opposition. You ever get opposition? You're like, really? This is all good. And then these guys? You know, if I didn't have to deal with these guys, things would be really good. But guys and gals, there's always going to be these guys. You know, I've told people before, it's kind of like, you know, we get these things that come into our lives, you know, like the Yabits and the Halcoms. There's these tribes that live up in the mountain. The Yabits are those people that, like, you complain, you go, yeah, but, you know, I don't know, man. It's that doubt. That's that doubtful tribe. And the Halcoms, those are like, well, how come he can't do it? Now, I don't want to do it. The Yabits and the Halcoms. The opposition, it's always coming on. You know, you're like, this is crazy. It's going good. This is where God starts sharpening that pencil in our lives. You know what? God brings that friction, you know, and he starts teaching us. You know what I mean? You can do a lot of different things at one time. You can still build up God's kingdom, and you can kind of keep the enemy at bay. You just have to pray, and the king is going to answer your prayers with the right heart. And you keep that right heart going, because you know what? When you get beaten up and you start looking a little down and you're fellowshipping and you're hanging out and you're coming along, you know what you're doing? You're encouraging each other. There's a very profound piece of scripture that I love, and it's in Hebrews. It says, as long as today is called today, encourage each other. You're like, wow. That's like 8 words, whatever it is, and it means so much. And there's also another piece of scripture that God hits me with here and there when I start thinking this is just a little much, you know. And God's like, and this one's in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. There's another good book. There's a guy that preached for 40 years to the people, and you know how many people believed in, how many people converted, you know, the guy? None. Zip. 40 years. And he's considered one of the great prophets. You're like, that's kind of not a very good track record. Well, we're not here to convince people. We're here to serve God. And it says in there, it says, if you are growing tired and weary in a foot race with men, how are you going to run with the horses, Jim? God's like, really? You're going to get beaten down because of this? Because of this. How are you going to do the big stuff, Jim, if you're going to get down because of this small stuff? I'm like, you know what, Lord? Bingo. So what do? I talk to him. I pray. Keep hanging out. God will guide you. He'll turn you into a real leader. This is what he's building up here, is leadership. I say this to encourage all of you. You have leadership, but all of you are called to be leaders. One day you'll be called to be a leader in your home, out there where you work. That's what Nehemiah did. The dude was a cupbearer, man. He worked out there in the world. I worked for the, I went back to work for the government after I got out, and I retired 2 years ago, and I worked at the passport center. It's crazy. It's like, you name it, it was there. I had to deal with the bathrooms, you know, with the transgenders, you know, and all the different things and all that. It was just insane. But I would pray every day when I went in there. I'm like, you know what? By the time I left, it was incredible. I didn't do anything. I just prayed. God brought the people. We don't do nothing. We're just vessels. God's like, I'm going to load you up here a little bit. When you reach that opposition, it's okay. If it ain't going bad, it ain't going good. You know what I mean? I mean, if things are really just cruising right along for a long time and just going beautiful, you know, sometimes, you know, you get to that point, you're like, I don't know. Well, things have been going really good for a long time. Something's cooking here. You know what I mean? And you know what? That's just the way God works. It's not because he's a bad God up in heaven, like a voodoo just poking away, you know, at a little doll, you know, like, yeah, check this out. That's not the kind of God we have. He's preparing you for things in your life because he knows your heart. He's training you up. He's teaching you things. Just like he constantly taught these disciples. Peter, Paul. Paul was an assassin. He hated Christians. He hated Christians. He went out there hunting them down. He wanted to get them the people of the way. You know, you've heard that, you know. Well, that's us. We're the Christians. We're the Christ ones. Yeah, Paul. And God used him. And look at them. We're reading two-thirds. So these testimonies that you have, this is in print. This guy had no idea that we're going to be reading, you know, like 3,000 years later about what he went through. People will read you, and they will see you, and they will see that true heart in you. You're like, man, I know they've gone through a lot, and I watch them stand firm. Stand firm in Christ. Stay the course. Stay the course. And let God guide you. And that's all I got, yeah. I want to pray for us. Father God, thank you for my brothers and sisters here, because that's what we are. God, it's we go through these times in our lives, Father, but all of us do. You know, we get sick. There's a lot of sick people out there. I want to lift them up to you too, Lord. And but Father, right here, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint my brothers and sisters. Simple as that. You could talk to them, and that they could see you, and they can feel you. You know why? Because it says in the book of Hebrews that you produce that harvest of righteousness in those that are trained by this. Lord, we are always in class with you. We are always learning. That we would never feel isolated, that we would never feel alone, because you're always there, Father. Continue bringing good counsel into all of our lives, brothers and sisters, and I just, you will. You work miracles. You're a miracle God, and I thank you for that, Father. Pour your blessings upon them, all of us here, Father, and help JD out too with his young little family. Lord God, you've prepared a special spot for all of us, Lord, and until that spot we're with you, that we have work to do, Father. So just give us some marching orders so we can hear you, just like Nehemiah did right here. And things are going to happen, but God, we have you, and that's all we need. Godliness with contentment is of great gain. So, Father, thank you for this time, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, everyone. Pastor JD here. You've been listening to a teaching from Ignition Tucson, the Young Adults Ministry of Calvary Tucson. If you live in the greater Tucson area and you're between the ages of 18 to 28, we want to invite you to join us in person. We meet every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at Calvary Tucson's East Campus on Speedway and Camino Seco. Come join us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace.